Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bez Hashem, BPM, share number 87. That's by Spinimi, share for men, share number 87. We're going to talk about this discovery stage of gathering information about your husband and your wife to learn more about them. To learn more about your wife by asking and gaining information from them. Now, you may think, well, okay, this makes sense in the beginning of marriage. When you're in Shana Rishayna, even just a year or two in, it could be there's things you don't know about your spouse, so you need to gather information. But that's not the case. We've seen time and time over and time over and time over where people are married even for 10, 20, 30 years even. They know very little about their wives or their husbands. They just are so used to their external behaviors, and they never truly communicated in a deep way. And a lot of them sadly say that I've been married for 25 years. My husband doesn't know me. And that's what we mean by gathering information. No matter how long you're married. And even if you think you know everything, it's not the case, because the truth about this love and the emotion of it is ever changing. Individuals change. Life changes. There's new information, there's new roles, there's new ways of loving each other. People grow. Sometimes there's a low spot in the marriage, and then what happens is now is the time for the need to discovery. If you don't make it a practice to examine your current needs and your current issues and your current feelings towards each other or lack of it, then you get stuck in a rut. And it's just a vicious cycle of just staying the way you are. You're trapped. While if you start working on this discovery stage, no matter how long you've married, to learn that the idea of the love and the feeling of it does not mean the same for every individual or every couple. It's understanding your own needs, your husband's needs, your wife's needs, and your goals in life and so on and so forth, which is very often not expressed at all. And the gathering information also is a concept of learning about yourself, learning to ask. And very often, what's difficult about gaining information and gathering information about each other is people hold back from it because they're afraid, they're scared, that if they open up, there's a risk of rejection or there's a risk of criticism. This fear of asking about to your wife, tell me your state of mind. Let me know more about you, how you feel about us, how you feel about the marriage, how you feel about life. You're afraid because you're risking rejection or hearing things you may not want to hear. But that's the only way to connect. That's the only way to grow. If you look deeply, you'll realize very often, unfortunately, a wife will tell the husband, the real fact is you just don't care. And the one who's accusing that is not always innocent either. But you may find, for example, a request was not specific. You never explained, I want more intimacy. And even if you say the words, I want more intimacy, what do you mean by that? Does it mean I want more sex? I want more touching? I want more holding? I want to talk more about emotions? I want to give more, be open about giving information? Or I want to be open about or asking personal questions? And so on and so forth. You need to be specific. I would like you to initiate the physical intimacy once every cycle or whatever. Or instead of going silent and being silent on me, I'd like you to tell me when I've been rude to you. Being open about that. A request has been asked in a critical or blaming way, and you say, honestly and openly, I'm giving you information. When you do that, it makes it difficult for me to give generously to you or to open up to you. Or you honestly and openly say, you know, you were so unappreciative in the past, or I felt that way, that I just gave up trying. Or a person make a request and may be unrealistic about expectations. Or maybe insensitive to the other person's needs, and so on and so forth. So this idea of learning about each other, and gathering information about your wife. No matter how long you are married and you think you know everything, assume you know nothing, and like an innocent beginner's mind, open up to learning. Same way that when you're 40 years old and you open up a parsha, Sashua, and you learn the parsha of the week, you open it up with a fresh pair of eyes. It makes no difference how I learned it when I was 10 or 20 or 30. Let's say you're 35 now. I'm going to learn it like a 35-year-old, brand new, fresh eyes. That's the way you deal with your husband or wife. You look at your wife with fresh eyes. You ask yourself and then you ask her, do I have a clear understanding of her needs? Do I make an effort every day to meet her needs? Do I focus on pleasing my wife as much as I focus on being pleased myself? Meaning, am I only looking for the receiving end that I want to receive versus what I could give to my wife? Am I sensitive to my wife's needs as I expect her to be to mine? Or I'm not so sensitive? Do I respond when my wife expresses her needs? Would my wife say that I make things as a priority for her or not? Do I make it easy for my wife to ask about what he or she wants? This is also very important. A comfort level. In other words, for your wife to be open to you, to what she needs and what she wants, she can't be threatened by you. She needs to feel at ease with you, comfortable with you. Have I been comfortable? Have I acted in a way that would make my wife comfortable with me, that she would be willing to share things with me and not be afraid? So in the book, The Truth About Love by Pat Love, she brings a poignant story that happened in a couple's workshop that she had. She divided men and women into two discussion groups, but it was in the same room. Her assistant led the men's group, and she went to the women's group. And their assignment over there was to talk about sexual needs. And during that exercise, she's going to say the way she put it, Sheila, who was a very bright, attractive blonde, described her painful experience with her husband. And this is what Sheila said. He turns away from me. I tried everything. I tried being affectionate, wearing sexy lingerie, cooking his favorite meals, trying to talk about our sex life. Nothing works. We haven't had sex for over 2 years. It's either that he just doesn't want sex or he just doesn't want me. I feel so unattractive. I feel so inadequate. He's a good man. I love him. But I can't stand to think of living the rest of my life like this. And she dropped her head. And she began to cry. Husbands, listen to this. I know a lot of you may think you have the reverse problem. You're trying to open up and your wife is closing up like this. But many of you know that that's not often the case, where when you have an itch, you have your wife ask her to scratch it, but you're not forthcoming in this area when she really needs it, when you're not in the mood and she needs it. So you have to really be sensitive to this. She began to cry. And there was silence in the group. And then one of the women held up her hand. And it was a lady, Linda. And she said something to this other lady, Sheila, who just said this. She said, Sheila, as I was sitting here listening to you, my first thought was, well, you should just leave that guy. He's a bum. Neglecting you for 2 years, not having physical intimacy, and ignoring you. But then it hit me. I'm just like your husband. I haven't given any thought to my own husband's needs. So what happened was by listening to this Sheila, Linda got an objective look at her own behavior, which is an important step to her discovery. That's a temporary moment of maturity, a rare experience where you get a glimpse of what it's like to live with yourself. And once you realize that, your perception will never be the same. So Sheila was talking about her own neglect, that her husband neglected her sexually. And Linda, listening to this, couldn't anymore be blind to the fact that she herself was ignoring her husband's sexual needs insensitively. It's called looking in the mirror. And you need to look in your mirror and ask yourself, Am I making time for our relationship? Are you making time for your wife? Am I meeting my wife's sexual needs? Her emotional needs? The healthy romantic aspects. We talked another shiurim about what the phony Hollywood version of romance is versus a true Torah concept of what romance should be. An atmosphere of love in the family and in the house. Being supportive. Giving and receiving physical affection. Satisfying intimate conversations. Being reasonable about money. Talking it through. Becoming like best friends to my partner, or husband and wife. We explain this a lot. You have to not just love your wife, you need to learn how to like her, which means becoming friends, develop a deep friendship. Do you put fun in the relationship? We talked about fun. Fun is not a dirty word. It's a simchas hachaim aspect to it. Do I provide mental stimulation? Do I do my part to make the home comfortable? And do my, you know, in a way where I don't have bad midas that cause the atmosphere to be stressed. Do I have good midas that causes the atmosphere to be pleasant? Do I interact with my husband, to my wife, in a kind, respectful manner? To be clear and trustworthy about my commitment to her? And so on and so forth. And this learning and this gathering information is not just, like we said before, it's not just in the beginning of the relationship. It's imperative for an ongoing commitment, no matter how many years you're married. Very, very sad. So there was a couple that came to the seminar that Pat Love was there and set up the seminar. I'll give you the names that she put here. Paul and Alexia. Fine, Paul is the man. Very tall, handsome guy. And Alexia was a very good-looking lady. And the lady starts talking. They came there. He says, you should take this as a compliment. I mean, he's talking to Pat Love, who set up the seminar. It's the first date we had in over 2 years. The fact that we're here together now. We both work. My husband, Paul, has an 8-year-old son from his first marriage who's with us Wednesdays and every other weekend. We have 2 kids of our own, both in diapers. They're very young. 2 dogs, a cat. We never have time for each other. Then the husband spoke. Paul spoke. He says, when we do interact with each other, we're at each other's throats. It seems like we're always fighting over the kids, over who didn't do what and all these things. And when we do talk, we mostly complain. And we've just lately been staying out of each other's way. I know that's not the answer, and that's why we're here. So she was happy that they're there. This is a couple that juggles many responsibilities. And they need assurance during this period of a lull, of a low, that they are deeply connected. And after, in this seminar, they did some of this work. And then what the wife said, it was as following. Alexia, the wife, said, this has been the best day since our honeymoon. Felt so good just to focus on us. We learned that low times that we were going through are now normal, and we do have a strong relationship. By the way, this is a yesod. Don't think when it's a low right now, that doesn't mean there's something really wrong. You could have a very healthy marriage and still feel that low. We have rediscovered each other, she said. We agreed on what's the best for our relationship at this time in our lives. Is to become good parents, restoring our sex life, working as a team. I was ignoring my husband's sexual needs, and he understands that when he helps with the kids, I feel loved. He'll do more in the house, and we're committed to working towards each other and loving each other and satisfying each other in the relationship. So here's a couple who experienced a great deal of stress in a period of their lives, but they started to identify their needs. They realize the goal of being good parents to their children. She realized she neglected his sexual needs, and he neglected her need for either more free time or caring. And they acknowledged that they weren't sensitive to each other in acknowledging each other's personal needs. And the ongoing desire to please your husband, to please your wife, and improve the relationship is the driving force behind successful marriages. Happy, stable couples have one recurring theme. What is the one recurring theme? It's loving behaviors that are what keep people together. Loving behaviors is what keep people together. They don't always solve the problems, but the satisfied couple meets each other's needs in a positive way. Bracha v'atzlacha.